All right. So, I want to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Because a lot of times there's confusion about what that means and what it is and everything. And depending upon which tradition you come out of, or maybe depending upon your experiences, you kind of hold to one belief or another belief or something else. Okay. But did you know that the best place to get our information is not from our experiences, but from the Word of God? Your experience is probably different than my experience. And so, if you come, and your tradition may be a different from my tradition. In my tradition, I was taught that the filling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit came at the same time as your salvation. Okay? That's my tradition. So because of that, I thought I was filled with the Spirit when I wasn't. Let's look at what Scripture says. Not what I say. Not what others say. Let's just look at what Scripture says. Because there is a lot of confusion regarding this topic, regarding this subject. And I also want you to know this. There's a lot of confusion depending on what you're looking at for your sources. Sometimes you may go to the television and you may see one preacher preaching one thing, another preacher preaching another thing, or you may go to Facebook or some other social media, and you might find a church where being filled with the Spirit means barking like a dog, or writhing on the ground like a snake. And I will just say this, you may be filled with a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit, okay? I just want to clear some things up because a lot of times we mention the Holy Spirit and people just get afraid because they don't understand the work, the power, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so they would rather not have the Holy Spirit if they're going to bark like a dog. And I agree. Okay? So, let us just begin with passage of Scripture. As we've seen in previous messages, so I'm going to ask you a question, you have to respond, okay? So this is kind of a test. When does a person receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? At salvation. How often does that occur? One time. When you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. Okay? The filling of the Holy Spirit is different. And it could be that it comes at salvation. But that's not always the case. I'll show you in Scripture why I say that. Now, the initial filling of the Holy Spirit, when you initially are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you hear someone say that I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what that basically means is that's when the Holy Spirit filled you initially. Again, it could come at the point of salvation or it could come at a different time. In Acts chapter 2, we find that some 120 people were in a prayer gathering. And as they were in a prayer gathering, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The tongues of fire came upon them and they began to speak in another language. which was known in their world. They began speaking in another language, and they began to preach in those languages. And people heard it in their own language. Now, it would be interesting. Let's just say you went to Brazil, and you started listening to a Brazilian pastor preach. I don't know what language. Does anybody know? They speak in Portuguese. But yet this Portuguese guy gets up and he starts preaching and he's never learned English and you start hearing it in your own language. Wouldn't that be amazing? Those 120 were gathered. And those 100, God had a special purpose for them, and that purpose was that they were to communicate the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the people that had come for this festival in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of people. And they heard the message spoken in their own language. Isn't that amazing? So sometimes, and if it's okay, I'm going to ask this of you. Maybe, you know, you don't have to, I'm not trying to embarrass you. But if you know that you've been filled with the Spirit and you were filled in a prayer gathering, would you raise your hand? A few of you. Okay? Sometimes that happens in a prayer gathering. Another way Scripture teaches, so in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, and you can look on your phone at this or your Bible. Some of you have quit bringing Bibles to church, but it's okay if you bring Bibles. It's okay if you have your phone with a Bible app on it. So what was going on in Acts chapter 10? You may remember this story. Peter had a vision, and in this vision, he was to go and preach to some Gentiles, an Italian band of individuals. The vision was this sheet comes down and all of these animals that Jews aren't supposed to eat were in there. And God said to Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, I can't do it, God. Nothing has ever touched my lips that is not kosher. And God says, Peter, again, kill and eat. And Peter said, no, God, I can't do it. And then God says again the third time, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter's kind of like wondering, what is this vision all about? And all of a sudden he receives a knock on the door and somebody says, Cornelius wants you to come and talk to him about whatever God puts on your heart. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. And as Peter is preaching, Scripture says that as he is preaching, and Cornelius and his whole household receives the truth that they are baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see here that these individuals were filled with the Holy Spirit when they received Christ as their Savior. Let me say this again. It's different from the indwelling Spirit. Okay? It's different from the indwelling Spirit. There's something, and I've spoken about this in weeks prior, that there's something about the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's power that energizes a person to do what God has intended for them to do. And that's what, how you recognize that there a person is filled with the Spirit, because there's power. It's not human power, it's Holy Spirit power that accomplishes things beyond what a human can do. Does that make sense? So, all of a sudden, Scripture says, when Cornelius and his family received the Lord, that immediately the Holy Spirit came upon them, and when He came upon them, they began to speak in other languages just like the guys did in Acts chapter 2. And they knew that it was the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it was kind of blew Peter out of the water because he thought this was only for Jews. So going to stop now, and I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe and know that you received the filling of the Holy Spirit when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? A few of you. Okay. Let's look at another passage of Scripture. Some people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they are baptized, just like Matt was this morning. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter again is preaching, and as he's preaching, he's talking to the Jews about the way they treated Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus, and because of their sins, that they're going to be in judgment. And they became very frightened. Peter said, "Let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, what the Word tells us in this passage is that there were some believers who only received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at their baptism. So how many of you feel like that you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you were immersed through baptism? Okay, a few of you. You see why this is so confusing? And do you see why denominations are split over this one issue? One holds to this belief, and one holds to this belief because they try to interpret Scripture through their experiences, rather than allowing the experiences to shed light. I'm sorry, rather than allowing the Scripture to shed light on their experiences. So, some received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when hands were laid on them and people prayed for them. Other Christians prayed for them. The apostles prayed for them. So let's look at, there's a few of these. Acts chapter 8. Philip went to Samaria. And he began preaching. And as he was preaching, a multitude of Samaritans came to the place where they received the gospel message. They believed that Jesus was the Lord, and they gave their heart to the Lord. They became believers. When John, Peter, and the other apostles heard of it, they sent a couple of guys, John and Peter, to lay hands on these guys. So, in verse 14, "And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these believers." Say, believers. "They prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit." Another passage, Acts chapter 9, verse 17. You remember Saul, who became Paul. He was on the road to Damascus, and he saw this vision and came to an understanding that he was going again, that Jesus was who he said he was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God's only Son. And he came to a place where he was in a quandary because he had always fought against that. And he became blinded and was led to a place. And Ananias a follower of Jesus Christ, was told in a vision to go find Saul, which is going to be on a street called Straight. And Saul would be there, and when Ananias got there, he was to pray for Paul that he would receive his sight, laying his hands on him, and to receive the Holy Spirit. And so Ananias went, and he said, "Brother Saul," verse 17, "Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Another passage in Acts 19, Paul was going to Ephesus. He reached Ephesus. He was on the coast. And there he found several believers. And when he found the believers, he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" You know what? I never asked that question. I asked the people, "Have you received Christ as your Savior?" But I never think to ask people, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Never. But Paul, when he got to Ephesus, he met several believers. You find out later there's 12 men. And he asked these 12 men, he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" So here's part of the next message. We'll jump a little bit. Did you know that you can tell when a person has the Holy Spirit or not? There's something different about them. And when Paul came to Ephesus, that difference wasn't in these believers. And so I'm sure he listened to their story. He listened to their testimony of how they had received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he said, and I'm thinking, you know, that's right. That's true. But have you received filling, baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because something was just not right in their lives. And so, you know what he did? He laid hands on them. He prayed for them. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time today to get into how do you know. That's next time. Okay? I told somebody this morning, I don't think anybody wants to listen to an hour and a half sermon. But you'll have to come back. Because there is evidence when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this before I go on. How many of you were filled with the Holy Spirit when someone laid hands on you and prayed for you? Okay, several of you. Okay. Let me tell you about a little bit about my experience. I don't like to talk about me, but since I'm up here, I'm going to talk about me. So because I was raised in a Baptist church, I had the understanding that when a person came to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that's when you received all you get. That was my understanding. And so I went along like that for many years. I was a pastor and things. And then one day I went to a conference in Seattle. You know what? There was no, even though I was pastor, I didn't feel like there was any power. You know what I mean? One day I went to a conference in Seattle area. I can't even recall exactly. There was this guy named Henry Wright who was teaching. You may not have ever heard of him. And he said, so, you know, there, and I listened to the conference. He's a hard guy to listen to. He's all over the planet. Hard guy to follow. But finally, we made it through the conference. It was like 3 days. Grueling conference. And then he said, if any of you would like to do ministry such as we're doing, which was kind of a deliverance thing, I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. So I came forward. One of the guys up there put their hands on me. They prayed for me. I said, this is cool. I went home. It was Saturday. Oh, let me tell you a little bit about going. Okay. So as I was headed toward that conference, I had a Ford Ranger. I think it was like a 82 Ford Ranger. And as I was going up over Highway 6, my oil pressure began dropping. And I'm thinking, oh no, what's going on? So I turned around, tried to come back. As I was coming back, my oil pressure started to come back up. So I said, well, I'm going to try again. So I started, went, got as far as Beaverton, and my oil pressure started going down. Man, what's going on? So I turned around, and I started coming back. My oil pressure started going back up. My truck. I said, you know what? Evidently, somebody doesn't want me to go there. Turned around. I drove to Seattle. Didn't have any problems with my truck. Well, the oil pressure still kept going down, but I never, you know, no problems. It didn't blow up or anything like that. And so I went to this conference, and I was listening, and, you know, they said, okay, pray. And so I came and prayed, and woo-hoo, big deal. But when I got home, all of a sudden, I began working in a deliverance ministry kind of thing. It was beyond what I can do. And God began to utilize me and use me in a way that I had never been used before. And I began to discern things that I'd never discerned before. And I began to work in an ability that I'd never worked in before. So for me, I feel like the filling of my Holy Spirit came at that time. There was no big demonstrations of anything, no fireworks went off. I just began to operate in a power that I had not had before. And I can only attribute that to the Holy Spirit living and working in and through me. Well, the way I recognized it, and so Dean is going to preach for you this next couple of weeks. And he's going to share this story, and he's shared this story, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm not saying anything he wouldn't say. But so the next Thursday, I got back on Saturday, the next Wednesday, we had a pastor's prayer here in the church. And Dean was sharing about having some fear issues. And all of a sudden, and it's like, so, you know, so he had a lot of fear issues, and one of the pastors said, well, there's a ministry that would help you in this, that, and all of a sudden, and in me, it's like, I said, why do we have to go to a ministry? We're a bunch of pastors. And we can do it ourselves. And so I was able to minister to Dean. And the fear. You know. And so it was just a, you know, it was almost an immediate thing. And it was like this unction that came up within me that, man, we got to take care of business. And it was the Holy Spirit that allowed that and that showed himself. And that's one of the things we're talking about, evidence of the Holy Spirit. One of it is that there's power in your giftings. You're not doing it by yourself, because there's power in what God has already gifted you in. Have you ever run out of gas? And you have to somehow get your vehicle to the gas station. And so you're pushing and you're laboring and you're sweating and you're tired, trying to do the Lord's work without gas, without the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to push your vehicle uphill. It's a whole lot easier, a whole lot funner, a whole lot more joyful when you have the Holy Spirit working with you. So, the last way that a person may be filled with the Holy Spirit is alone in prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, if sinful people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask Him? You don't have to be in a big congregation. You don't have to have your hands laid on you unless that's what God says you need to do. Okay? If God says you're not going to get the Holy Spirit until people lay hands on you, then you need to do that. Okay? You just need to be obedient. Or you're not going to get the Holy Spirit until you're baptized. Well, I don't want to be baptized. Okay. That's your choice. All right? So the Holy Spirit... So let me read the whole passage. Do you know that passage? The passage says, ask, seek, knock. Okay? That's in Luke 11. He says, so I tell you, keep on asking... you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And a lot of times we stop there because this addresses the prayer and we just say, man, we just got to be persistent in prayer. Got to be persistent in prayer. Well, that's true, but let's read on. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, a door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So that whole scripture about ask, seek, knock, it's in context with receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I would say. Keep on pestering. That's what he's saying. Keep on pestering the Lord about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Keep on pestering Him. Because did you know that God wants to give you that gift more than you want it? And I think this description of a kid saying, God, Dad, would you give me a fish? Dad, would you give me a piece of bread? Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm really hungry. Would you feed me? I think it has to do with that. There has to be a hunger within us. There has to be this unction, this desire. God, I want more of you. I don't have enough of you. David said, my heart pants after the water brook like a deer pants after my heart pants after you like the deer pants after the water brook. And so there has to be something within us that just desires with everything in us that we want more of God and we're willing, whatever He says to do, to do it. God says, you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And you hunger after it. Scripture says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be what? Filled. But you're not going to get it till you hunger and thirst for. There's more to the Christian life than perhaps what some of you have experienced. Some of you may be living a life that you can't seem to get beyond your own selfishness and your own sinfulness and your own desires and your own hang-ups. God says, I've got a solution for that. The Holy Spirit wants to give you power in every aspect of your life. How many of you feel like you are filled with the Spirit in your own personal prayer time? Several of you. Isn't that amazing? That there's no specific way that God accomplishes His work. And we try to put Him in a box. Turn to your neighbor and say, God can do what He wants to. And He's not limited by your understanding. He's not limited by your understanding. He does what He wants to. Don't put Him in a box. But my prayer for you is that whether it's in a prayer gathering, whether it's in personal prayer, whether it's in a laying on of hands, whether it's through baptism, no matter what it is, that you will be filled with, baptized with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be scared of the Spirit. You don't have to be afraid. Father, I come before You today.